don't ever get a misconception. We Please. Can't be erased. You can't take me away.
Yeah.
It's a shame how many trans women we have to lose. Yeah. But mm-hmm. no matter how many women y'all choose to take from us, you can never get rid of us. Yeah. We are only getting better.
That was a word. Yes, you definitely was. Laid that one down.
Let's sit on the couch. Let's talk it out. Come on, join the show. I'll tell you what I know.
Oh, talk about it.
It's the best podcast. Let's have a blast.
While the events that sparked the fight of the LGBTQ plus liberation as we know it today get some attention, we often forget that the movement was led by trans women of color and black lesbians. And as Pride Month goes on and comes to a close, let us not forget that the struggle still continues. Their bravery and absolute refusal to accept anything less than liberation sparked a movement that needs to remember who led the charge, y'all. All Black Lives Matter, purr. So I am so excited to be sitting on the healing couch. You know how we do. We are celebrating all month long. I am chit-chatting with Nina, never-ending Nina, singer, songwriter, and community cultivator, as well as Corinne, wardrobe stylist. She be getting y'all dressed. And real estate agent selling those million-dollar houses. We love to see it. Happy Pride!
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
How y'all doing?
I'm well, blessed.
Okay.
Present.
I'm present and I'm blessed, so I relate. I want to jump straight into it. What does pride mean to you? Nina, I'll start with you.
Well, pride originally is the protest.
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, it's a time to where we can sit in our authenticity and see how we show up in that space and how we use it to build even more opportunities for our community.
Yeah.
So that's... I'm still in an iffy stage of pride because I want my people to have all the access and the resources. But at the same time, I feel as though commercialization has seeped in to where it's really not about protest anymore. It's really not about community building. It's about being seen and visible. But like, what actions are we actually really doing for pride?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm kind of iffy as though, yes, representation is there, but at the same time, it's like, what can we do? What can we be doing better?
I relate to that. Yeah,
correct. I definitely can relate as well. For me, I just try to use that moment to use it as a celebration of your truth. I feel so often we have to kind of be in the shadows or hide or kind of be, discreet about our life in a lot of ways. And I feel like the society gives you an opportunity to be out loud and to be who you are and to live in your truth. And sometimes when you're kind of keeping that submerged for so long, having the opportunity to express that can really change, your whole mindset, your whole mentality, like your love for life. So yeah. I just use it as a celebration to be, tapped into your truth.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Corinne, I'm curious to know, as a black trans woman, what would you say is the major limitation that you put on yourself?
Just being afraid to live authentically in my truth. The type of person that I am personally, I'm very sincere. I'm very honest. I'm genuine. Anything genuine is the only thing that's important to me. One of the three things that I pray for in the morning when I wake up is a heart that yearns with the desire to do things with the right intentions. So I don't want to do anything with malintentions, but to not feel like you're able to live completely in your truth because you're confined, whether due to advancements in your career or safety purposes or acceptance from your family. There's so many realms that stricken me to being true to who I am. So I feel like that limitation amongst others, stands out to me the most.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say, Nina?
Yeah. That resonates so well because universally, it's so many intersections and the nuances of it when you break down our lived experiences that is so true. And it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But it's like, you gotta continually get yourself out there to create new spaces for the advancement of yourself, as well as for your community, as well as for your family, as well as for your tribe, as well as for your dreams and aspirations. And so it's the want that universally everybody wants, but it comes with stipulations. Mm-hmm. It comes with restrictions that you have to find a way to navigate. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give you a book to say, hey, make this left at this corner. It's just saying, you, this is what you want, go out there, get it. But then, as best as you can, stay true to yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't limit yourself as much as you can, but because of safety issues, that's a main concern every day.
Absolutely.
As a Black trans woman, when I walk out my house, I'm like, do I have enough energy to make it through the day? Do I have enough wherewithal to understand if this man approaches me?
Yeah.
And he don't know T, you know.
Because that can be draining.
Every Absolutely. Day.
Okay. Wow. What is dating like? Mm. What was your last date?
Child.
The day before yesterday, and I have a date after this.
What the? You're booked!
Dating is fun. I mean, the first dates are great.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
I have a rule. I don't disclose my T until after the first date. Okay. I feel like the term transgender and trans women has such a negative connotation attached to it sometimes that I want someone to thoroughly get to know me, evaluate me. I'm very transparent and I'm very honest. I don't speak about that, so I don't have to lie about that. But everything I talk about in that conversation is very honest. So I feel like in that moment, you have opportunity to get to know me. And then afterwards, I'll share with you my tea and, you know, you can evaluate me the way you...
Yeah.
And so that's... The, and that's also speaking to the fact that trans women are not a monolith. It's like, that works for you. Mm-hmm. For me, I wouldn't feel safe doing that. Mm-hmm. I want to do it in a communication of like phone or some kind of way. So
prior. Where
once we know, once you know, I don't want to dilute anything. Because number one, people are attracted to me. And so I attract people. And so if that person doesn't feel, if that man doesn't feel in some kind of way not comfortable in themselves, then I don't want to be in a public space to where that person can try to dilute yeah, me because they feel in some type of way. And so that's the great thing about navigating it for your own self is that we're dating, which it for me doesn't come a lot because I'm just like, number one, my dreams and aspirations is first because I know that's what always has kept me. And so I give time to human interaction and men interaction. But at the same time, if they're not owning up to how they identify and they're giving me like the runaround tease, then I'm like, okay, peace.
You mentioned people are drawn to your, you know, energy. And your check. What's one word to describe yourself?
Voluptuous.
Oh, I like that. Voluptuous. You know, I grew up hearing that word a lot from my mom. Corinne, what was the one word that you would use to describe yourself?
Unique.
Okay, I'll take it. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay. And so, what's your favorite place to travel? Because y'all give me well-traveled. I ain't going to hold you.
Definitely well-traveled. I don't know if I would say I have a favorite. I like to explore every opportunity that's outside of what I already know.
Right.
Anything new to me is the best opportunity you can present to
You're
me.
You ready to so, see the world.
I can't put a place on it.
You have a favorite place?
But for me, I've got all the tools for me to travel, but more so I've been focused on my dreams and aspirations. So.
Got you.
Being in the hub of where all that takes place, this weekend is so packed, and next week is so packed, and it's like these are things that I want to do for myself. So I travel within Los Angeles,
okay,
which is a trip. Okay. You can be in Venice here. You can be in Marina del Rey. You could be in. So it's like
the people on Long Beach.
Listen, I love LBC.
Okay, no, okay, ah! Okay. Listen.
Even a staycation coming.
Let me ask you this. What is the reason for the trans community consistently being sexualized?
I mean, universally, everyone is sexualized. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like to be othered in an aspect. But yes, when your first interactions, particularly with something that you are not used to, is based in hypersexualization.
Right.
Then you're automatically going to be placed into that thing. Mm. And so everyone is sexualized.
Yes.
It's just with us, like you stated, it's for some reason because they don't actually be around enough trans people, particularly Black trans women. I can only make eye statements for myself, is that when they get around an actual Black trans woman, it's like, oh my God, finally, I get to experience this thing that I've been watching via...
As if it's an anomaly.
Yes. Uh-huh. Not seeing the wholeness of the person.
Got it.
And so that's why I want to make sure, that's why I do the vetting process when someone comes into my space. Friend, acquaintance, wanted to get to know me. Any aspect of that, that I, you go through this vetting process of questions through, like, well, how do you actually feel about trans people? Mm-hmm. Not just because you're attracted to one.
Yeah.
You're going to say the nice things because you're attracted to this body.
Voluptuous.
Voluptuous.
Corinne, I think like a big misconception is, you know, in speaking about, you know, the sexualization of it all is that the trans community, trans women, trans men, trick people into sleeping with them. Like, what do you say to that?
Absolutely not. I'll be fair, because to say what I said earlier about, you know, my rule against dating.
Yeah.
People can consider that tricking, but like I said about being transparent, I don't feel like I'm tricking. Everybody's, you know, perception is their own reality. Yeah. So I'm not going to discredit somebody to feel like they feel like I owe them some sense of information for them to decide whether they were going to respect me as an individual or not. That is you. That is a character flaw with you. I'm not going to go combat that. Yeah. I'm not going to go back and forth with that. That's not my weight to bear. So right. I don't go back and forth with that. You know, everybody has their opinions. I feel like that's a subjective opinion. Like, yeah. I'm not going to say that, you know, considering my lifestyle, my experiences, that I feel differently. And that's fair. Everybody has the opportunity to be different. But nobody walks into a space and acknowledges and opens up all their information and all their dirty
laundry, I don't do
all
that.
Their tea to anybody.
Yeah.
So don't you ever make me feel like I am owed to you some sets of information, like I said, to earn some type of respect when I'm presenting the woman that deserves a certain amount of respect.
Yeah. Yes. No, that was a word.
Yes,
you definitely
was.
Laid that one down.
Pass that collection.
How do you find joy in a world that tries to erase your existence, Nina?
I mean, it definitely comes from within.
Yeah.
You have to do the work to find that stillness, that foundation. And stillness means just seeing that solitude, that structure within yourself to combat what society tells you you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you... And that's why you really see the dolls, the femme queens, the trans women really giving it, because we have mastered that in such a way to where it's like... You can't tell me to dilute myself because I didn't put in the work to show up in my fullness wherever I am at. What you're projecting onto me is that you see that I have done the work and you want to get to where I'm at, but that takes time with you, sweet, so don't get...
But at the end of the day, don't ever get a miss. We
Please.
Can't be erased. You can't take me away. It's a shame how many trans women we have to lose, but... Mm-hmm. No matter how many women y'all choose to take from us, you can never get rid of us. Yeah. We are only getting better. Times are coming to a place where reality and common sense is becoming of the norm. Mm. And when we get to that space, the things that we have gone through, the things in our lives that have humbled us, and our, even like being sexualized, we're sexualized because we become perfect women. When I decided to be who I am, I didn't want to be just any regular girl that walks into a room. I wanted to be that bitch in every room I walk in.
Yes.
So, you know, that comes along with all of sexualization, wanting to be erased because you can't take us. But we're not going anywhere.
The girls can't take. Yeah. Were you involved in ballroom culture at all?
I am.
Okay. What was that like?
Ballroom. All right. I won't say that because I have the utmost respect for ballroom. Ballroom has put me in this place where I can be at this conversation today. I joined ballroom because Amaya Scott, and I had the opportunity to share this with her. Amaya Scott said in a ballroom throwbacks interview, which is why this is all full circle for me to have this interview and have this conversation, to be able to share this. Amaya Scott said in a ballroom interview that she lived the self life and she always got acknowledged for her beauty and you know, how she presented herself and like in her career and stuff like that. And she always thought to herself, you know, what if people knew exactly what it took to be the woman who I am today? How much more respect would you have for me? And not only that, how much more respect would you have for the trans community to see a different idea of a trans woman?
Yes.
So that, you know, that really that really touched my heart to even see her and see that I can be a woman like her. And ballroom, I joined ballroom shortly after that in House of Balenciaga. Shout out to House of Balenciaga. We're having our 20-year anniversary this July 16th. So
okay, come to the party.
Yes, pull up. For the, it's going to be the ball of the year.
Okay.
So, you know, I joined this family. I, you know, had the opportunity to become very close friends with them, join bonds with them. You know, a lot of them are, you know, my father, my parental figures in the scene as well. So ballroom has created me a confidence that society can't break. Mm. Ballroom will, you know, they can be tough on you and they can be hard on you, but pressure busts pipes and pressure creates diamonds. So at the end of the day, I feel like when you come out of that, when you come out of the storm, you present the fabbest people of the world.
It sounds like
and
some
it's
of
such
friends...
a blessing that we have an opportunity to be mainstream.
Yeah.
And for people to see that, because now everybody is really getting the opportunity to get the light and get the credit that we really deserve.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for a long time. And not I won't even say myself, because it's a lot of people that did way before me.
Mm.
But to be able to see this is what this was all for.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So many gems have just been dropped. I was going to say that kind of the culture kind of sounds like a lot of my friends who are part of like fraternities and sororities.
It is.
Like, you know, fostering great people.
And I've had that experience. I actually, when I went through college, I was self-pledged sorority. and I would say it's actually a bit better because it's realistic. You can change houses and go to another house. Like you can't change one sorority and go to another sorority. Like, so it's like you have the opportunity to be realistic, but build a bond with people that like you can trust.
Right. I love that.
Anita, when did you understand the importance of sex education?
I mean, they didn't teach you that in school.
Mm-mm.
And the little bit that they did teach, you had to understand, you had to see it from a different viewpoint. So for me, I've always been observant of all of my surroundings. And so I took in the information somewhat of what my parents showcased for my sister and brother.
Mm.
And then I went into self isolation and observation. And how that identifies with me.
Reflecting,
but then also building like, oh, well, don't go too far. Mm. Oh, you see how they treat your sister, and you know you ain't gonna be treated like your brother.
Mm-hmm.
So you like, you gotta find that middle point until you get, cause I knew I was the head bitch in charge since I was
Come
little.
On, HBIC.
I knew that, but I had to pay.
New York, Tiffany Pollard.
The main one was paying the bills at the house. So until I was able to get and stabilize my own self, I had to make, I'm second.
Shout out to
I'm
moms.
Second fiddle, but it was in that time when I was younger, I always knew about myself. I always knew that men, little boys, you know, growing up, they was attracted to me. And I was like, well, why they treat me like this? And I was like, and so it was just like always knowing that, respecting that, because I always know that that comes with responsibility as well.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be that pretty bitch to be like, oh, girl, she got a stank ass attitude. Mm. It's like, it's like, you know, let me hone that, because you have certain things, pretty privilege. You have certain things that a lot of people might not have. So understand that when you take up space, understand how you speak, understand your energy, understand how you can be respectful to everybody, because you do have certain privileges that a lot of people might not have.
How important is testing in your life? Does that show up with, you know, just regular testing with your doctor and things like that?
I mean, the overall health is that that's the thing that we need in community.
Yeah.
Like trans people, black trans women particularly, are just, when you think about the day-to-day things that you would want to have access to just as a human being, a lot of trans people and a lot of queer people don't even have access to that. And but particularly with the trans community, any space that you think that you would want medical care and help, there is debilitating stigma in those spaces. So a trans person can't even go into those medical spaces because they're going to get stereotyped, they're gonna get disrespected. Healthcare is horrible, so they find ways within their own community to better themselves. They take good care of themselves as much as they can. So the last resort is to actually go into those medical facilities to access health, because we know that it is detrimental when you go into those spaces, which is sad, because that's the space that you want to go to get help.
Yeah. I do want to state, from, you know, HIV and STDs and more, you know, being aware of your status is very responsible and the best way to prevent getting or spreading anything, an STD. is to be responsible about your sex mm-hmm. life and protecting yourself and your partner. Or what do we say? Your partners. There are so many ways to do so. So talk to your doctor and make sure you're taking care of yourself, because it goes beyond this month for sure. So you're a singer?
Singer-songwriter, artist.
Okay. Do you hate when people are like, sing me a tone? Do you hate that? They're like, sing me a beat.
I mean, in that aspect, you have to be ready in certain, if you feel led to. Yeah. But I always say, like, well, if you say that you're a doctor, do you just pull out your operation table and be like, I'm about to operate on it?
Get on the table.
Get on the table. No, you feel led to. And then I also know that you could check out things on the internet. You can check out, you know.
How can we find you?
Never Ending Nina on all social media. You could go to, I just released my album Present, which is available everywhere on all digital streaming platforms. Just released my new video Soul, which is available everywhere on YouTube.
Yeah.
And, you know, just follow the doll. Support independent artists. Support an independent black trans woman doing the thing in the music space.
Corinne, wardrobe stylist?
Yes.
A little real estate life? Like, how did you get immersed into wardrobe styling?
Well, I have been styling since 2010. I came up under Roger Cawthorn, who's a major editorial stylist now. But he's from Portsmouth, where I went to college at ODU. Near where I went to college at ODU. So I met him by way of some friends that I went to school with. He introduced me to, tap into who I am and what I'm most passionate about. What I value most is being able to communicate who I am and how I feel about myself that day and who I want to present without having to speak that and just showing that in my aesthetic.
Yeah.
So, I just wrapped, I worked on Power, season two, Power Book 2, season uh-huh. 2 and season 3. And I've worked on Raising Kanan, and then when I came to LA, I worked on Legendary. I styled the confessionals for the Juicies, so yes. Make sure, but probably, I don't know if I should say this, but by the time this airs, it will have already, been on air, so make sure you check that out on HBO Max.
Check it out.
And I'm definitely, out here, trying to hustle and, get to my next step out here.
What was the most difficult part of transitioning physically, mentally, whatever you want to speak on, Nina?
For me, I think it's just finding that foundation within yourself, like I spoke before.
Yeah.
When you live in your authentic truth, there are going to be a lot of people who cannot stand that.
Mm.
And so you have, and that's coming from family, friends, constituents, society.
Have you heard a song from Kendrick Lamar's latest album? Okay.
I've heard about it.
The Auntie Diaries?
It's one way to, because I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And I'm sensitive about my shit.
Come on.
But at the same time, if I'm going to speak to a community that needs uplifting and actually humanizing them in the capacity, still giving their information, I, as that artist, would find the best way to actually make that palpable.
Yeah.
But not thread the, teetered on the line.
Yeah.
To play into the actual landscape of saying I'm still going to disrespect them. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, I could get it. On the other hand, I'm like, Kendra, I love you so much more than that. Did I feel as though you could have done more with that?
Mm.
That's that. But like I said, finding that safe space within yourself, because it's a constant. Like, you have to charge up your energy every day to go out into this world that tells you otherwise, that you are not supposed to be here.
Mm.
And so the strength of that individual, of that trans woman, is such a astounding foundation for them that it keeps. And I believe that we do it so well that people don't think how hard it is mm-hmm. to actually do that on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
For me, that was the thing that really stuck out, was like making sure my foundation was secure within myself.
Okay, so can we play a game?
Absolutely. Sure.
Let's play a little game. It's called Put a Word on It. So tell me the first word that comes to your mind when I give you a word, okay? You can bounce off each other. So one and then one, okay? So the first word is body. First word.
Me.
One word. What is it?
Me.
Boom.
Everything.
Love.
Effervescent.
Ooh.
Unconditional.
Equality.
Equity.
Necessary.
Controversial.
Authentic.
Necessary.
Controversial. Cheers.
Salute.
Cheers.
Culture. Yep.
Celebrating.
Girls.
The doll.
Femme queens.
Summer.
Act up. What word you want?
Lit.
Summer. Saucy.
Ooh, drama.
How about that?
Yeah, y'all give me more words and I love it.
Yeah, stop.
Stop. Oh, stop. Your candy bird said I fly above all the drama. Kinky. Kinky.
Kinky is the word?
Kinky's the word.
Overrated.
Coin.
Racism.
Late.
Reality.
I love that. I love that. When you look at the LGBTQ plus community, what brings a smile to your face? What are you hopeful for? You had to marinate on that one.
Because I'm really in a space that, honestly,
Be honest.
The other alphabets in the community have not shown up for trans women. It's cute.
Yeah.
We make it cute, but they really haven't.
Yeah.
If those individuals, you know, who actually were the ones to actually start this space, you can tell how the dynamic has switched to where now the trans women have to ask for permission to be in spaces that we built. Those lesbian, bisexual, gay, all those individuals now have access to multiple spaces. And the dolls have to kick and scream to actually get a taste of what they have so very obviously now on the backs of particularly black trans women. So it's like, I'm going to always shout out for my community because we just naturally do that. But at the same time, I can't be blind to the fact that y'all now have advanced. Y'all got y'all marriage. Y'all got all these things. Y'all got access to all the dolls. Y'all got into these multi-million dollar spaces. Y'all build y'all equity. Y'all get y'all white picket fence. But yet the dolls can't even get a job.
I also feel like that's how things happen. Like, that's how evolution happened. You know, what I celebrate is I go through life as a black woman. As a black woman, I'm breaking down barriers. I worked in my career for over 8 years and never had a black female property manager. To be a black female property manager in Beverly Hills now means so much to me. They don't even know my tea, but to be a black trans property manager means even more to me personally. So at the end of the day, I get that, you know, Pride Month is to celebrate, you know, the umbrella term of the LGBT community, but I'm here to celebrate my pride and the part that I share in it. And as a woman of trans experience, I am proud of, you know, who I am and where how far I come from. Though I see that we have so much more to go, I feel like the reality is that we've still come from come so far. And I can't, you know, negate that. I can't take that for granted. I appreciate that. I want to shed light on that. I want to show appreciation to that. But we're not stopping here. Like, it's just, this is how far we come. And that's let y'all know that where we're going, y'all have no idea. Y'all not even ready for it.
I feel like that's a drop the mic kind of moment, you know, like y'all really said that. Is there anything else that we did not cover that you want to address?
I just want to, you know, be specific about keeping trans women safe. I think that is of the utmost importance. I can only speak for myself and how I carry myself, but I do not put myself in spaces or present myself in ways or carry myself in a way that garnishes disrespect or violence or anything like that. So if I can do that, I believe that other trans women like myself are living their lives the same way. And if you can't protect us, knowing that we are good citizens of the world, you have a moral compass.
Boom. Can we raise our glasses and cheers?
Absolutely.
Thank y'all for being here and sharing your story. Very necessary.
Very.
Cheers to the up and up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's up, family? Thanks so much for tapping into this episode. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on YouTube and Instagram and wherever you get your podcasts from for listening pleasure. Don't miss our weekly Millennial Conversations Pod Post Edition right here. My name is Archie J, and thanks for joining me today.